إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, in psychology there is a concept which we call locus of control. Locus of control, which is the point of control. And that refers to where we believe and where we show in our actions is the point of control for our own happiness, our own satisfaction, our own peace of mind, our own success, failure, and so on. Where is the point of control? In the concept of locus of control, we talk about two things. We say internal locus of control and external locus of control. Internal locus of control refers to the belief that whatever happens to me, I am in control of that. So if I want to be happy, I can be happy. If I want to be successful, I can be successful. And so on and so on. So that's the internal locus of control. People with that orientation are people who are action-oriented and who tend to take charge of their lives and do whatever it takes to get whatever they like. And there's the other one, which is the external locus of control, where people believe that whatever happens to them, the control of that, the locus or the point of that is actually outside them. So it is outside, can be, we categorize that into two parts. One is significant people, significant others, and the other one is general others, which is society and so on and so on. So significant others would be, we say, well, I can be happy provided my family keeps me happy, does not allow me to become unhappy. I can be happy as long as I work in a good company, the organization is not doing something to make me unhappy. I can be happy as long as society is just and fair and, you know, favorable and so on and so on. So my happiness is not in my control, it's because of other people. So somebody can make me sad, or somebody can make me angry. All of that is in the hands of others who are around me. Some of them may be around me on a daily basis, some of them may be people, which is society in general, so it's not any individual, but by itself society. Now, Islam teaches us the balance between these two things. Because, like in anything else, a completely extreme belief in either of these, internal locus or external locus, would not be correct. Because if somebody says that everything in the world, whatever happens to me, is in my control, that is not true. There are some things which happen which are not in your control. I mean, they just happen. Like what we were talking just now, a perfectly good, healthy man slips on ice, falls down. Now, that was not in his control. He didn't go to do that. So some things are not in our control, no matter what we might think. At the same time, it is also not true that everything that happens to me is always because of somebody else. That is a victim mindset. That's I call it the net exporter of blame. So whatever happens to me, and people are, individuals are like this, nations are like this. America is, for example, going through that phase now. America has always been more or less in that phase, but now it's like an extreme form where it's very paradoxical. And what's interesting also is that these fears are not the result of actual lack of resources or actual threat. It is all made up in the mind.
Obsession.
Because here is a nation which has the largest economy in the world, and large by factors. I mean, it's not even, you know, percentage. The most powerful security in the world, most powerful army in the world, and so on and so on. But it lives in terror, and now it's in a state of such terror, such extreme fear for itself, that they are bringing in all kinds of restrictive rules and regulations and harassing people for nothing. And the reality is that America is not under threat from anybody. That's absolute fantasy in the mind of their leadership, which has brought this about. So this is a classic case of an entire nation which is living in a world of external locus of control. America seems to believe that whatever happens to America is in the hands of XYZ and so on and so on. And if you look at some of the countries that they have banned, it's like a joke. And what possible threat can some poor country like Yemen? I mean, Yemen is like Allah protect those people and save them. I mean, Yemen is like the earth. I mean, there's nothing in Yemen, right? And after all this, whatever has been happening recently, it's flattened. And America thinks that Yemen is a threat to America. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Absolute shame to live like this in this kind of a fear. But this is the result of an external locus of control for an entire nation. It's not one individual. A whole country or whatever is represented by the country lives like this. The reason I'm saying is because Islam shows us a balance between the two. Islam says, and this is our aqidah of qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is that of limited control. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that Allah has given into our hands certain things of our lives. And so therefore we will be questioned only about those things. Allah will not question us about things where He did not give us the control. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question us about how long did you live. Allah will question us about how did you live, not how long did you live. Whatever your lifespan was, how did you spend this time? How did you spend the life that Allah gave us? Allah will not question us about how much money we made or how much material we had. That's not in our control. Rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives more to some, less to some, and so on. And in His giving, there is khair. So if He gives more, alhamdulillah, the one to whom He gives more wealth, and that person is a person of iman, and the person earns that wealth halal, and the person spends that wealth halal, then this wealth is a ni'mah for this person, alhamdulillah. And for somebody else who Allah does not give that much, He gives less, but the person also, that small less also, he earns halal, he spends halal, and the person has sabr, he does not complain, he doesn't moan and groan about it, alhamdulillah, this is a means of khair for that individual. So there is good in more and there is good in less. And similarly, there is also fitna in more and in less, both. It's not as if poverty is by definition always good. It's not good. Poverty can actually become a very big problem because of the hardship of it. So this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not question on the quantity, but what Allah will question us on is how did you earn and how did you spend? Did you earn halal and spend halal or not? So what Allah gave us control over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us on that. So the issue of locus of control is, where is our locus of control? Now another thing to keep in mind is that when we externalize this locus of control, I was listening to a very interesting short video yesterday where this person said, he made a very nice point. He said that you will become very good at whatever you practice. So whatever you practice every day, you will become very good at it. But the key thing is to understand that you should practice something which is good and practice it properly, learn it properly. So he said, for example, if I take a violin and then I take a bow, that's what you play the violin, and I scratch this violin, I rub the bow on the violin, I am going to make some very horrible screechy sounds. It's not music by any stretch of the imagination, just a screaming, screechy sound. So if I do this every day and many hours a day, I will become extremely good at making very screechy sounds with a violin. Now, what value is that? Even though you are very good at it, it's a completely useless and horrible thing to do. You're just disturbing the peace. So it's an issue of what practice and how you practice. So he said that, you're talking about, and I'm interpreting that from the locus of control angle. So he said, for example, if you practice feeling happy, if you practice joyfulness, then you are going to become very good at being joyful. Now, how do you practice joyfulness? You practice joyfulness by shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by thankfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I tell myself I want to be happy, how will I be happy? By becoming aware of what Allah has given me, and he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And that's the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, look at people who have less than you. You know, he's not saying look down on them. He says, look at them, look at those who have less than you, because then you will feel grateful for what Allah has given you. So, Alhamdulillah, I have this much. Somebody else has nothing. They are struggling for various things. So we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make shukr to Allah. And because of the shukr, I decide to be happy. Now, if I practice this consciously, then I become very good at being happy, always. So, like with many people, alhamdulillah, there are good people in the world, where you say, you know, how is it you are so happy? How is it you are laughing all the time? Why? Because, alhamdulillah, I am so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So, he said, no, what about this and this? Oh, it's okay, it's part of life. There's some problems, part of life. On the other hand, if you practice, for example, if you practice worrying, so then what will happen? You will become very good at worrying. And as they say, there's a saying that you will worry about the buffalo you don't have. You will worry about the buffalo you don't even have. So you become very good at worrying. And then the whole time you spend only in this. Oh, so-and-so did this, now what will happen? This happened in the world, this what will happen? This is happening here in the city, what will happen? There's something happened to my relative, now what will happen? So this worry, 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 worry. And then you sit and say, you look at your children, my God, my children, now they are growing older, now what will happen? And what will happen? There's no end to this. I mean, you can just spend your whole life and ruin your whole life only in this worrying and worrying and worrying. And why is that happening? Because this is what you're practicing. You're practicing worrying. So you become extremely good at worrying, so all your peace of mind, everything disappears. Similarly, you practice being angry, so you will find that you are angry about every little small thing. Whatever happens, your blood boils. You know, and somebody else might look at you and say, what is your problem with that thing? Forget it, it's not even worth thinking about. No, but because I am practicing being angry. So now I'm angry about everything. The whole time you are, you know, you're either raving and ranting and screaming, or even if you're not doing that internally, your blood is boiling and who is being harmed? Yourself, nobody else. Whatever craziness is happening. That probably won't even stop. You can't even do anything about it. But just your own. So now practicing anger is only making you more and more and more unhappy. And so also, if you, and I don't want to extend the thing, think about all the positive emotions, think about all the negative emotions. And say that all of this, whatever you practice, is going to increase in your life. The more positive emotions you practice, the more that positivity will increase in your life. The more negative emotions you practice, the more negativity will increase in your life. And this is the concept of locus of control, to say that this is in my control. The outside is, for example, I was talking about anger. Now, what somebody else does is not in my control. I can't stop. For example, if I'm driving on the road and some other guy is driving in a crazy way, what can I do? He's not in my control. What is in my control is my action. What will I do? Now, I can either relax and smile and make sure I don't get, you know, affected by his bad driving, so I don't get into an accident or something, and ignore it. Or I can get very hassled and so on. This is how you get road rage and incidents of, you know, people even killing each other on the road because of something like this. So what is in my control is how I will respond to a stimulant or a stimuli from the outside environment. That's in my control. What happens in the outside environment is not in my control. What my son does, my daughter does, my wife does, my husband does, my brother does, or friend does, or whatnot, is not in my control. But how I will respond to that? Do I simply react like a puppet? You know, like the puppeteer can make the puppet do anything he wants because the control is in the hands of the puppeteer. Or are you going to cut all the strings of the puppeteer and say, sorry, I am an individual, I am not going to allow you to decide how I want to behave. That is the thing for us to remember and say, I am not going to allow somebody else to decide how I will behave. That is where you are taking the locus of control back into your own hands. And then, of course, alhamdulillah, you can choose to be as happy and as successful as you want. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the beauty of His deen and to practice it and to fill our lives with His noor and with khair. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.